2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Cougar Sports Saturday is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougar Sports winning!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday. Been a great show up to this point. Hour number three underway. We want to start things off talking some BYU hoops. Later tonight, Greg Wrubell brings the Connery, and our current guest, Mark Durant, brings the Cage from San Francisco. Underrated movie, Mark, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. You put Connery and Cage in anything, I'm going to watch that movie, that's for sure.
Yeah, me too. We need more of that in our life. So, hey, so, you know, I came away from that 26-point loss against Gonzaga actually feeling pretty good, because I just felt like if Gonzaga plays that way, they're going to win an NCAA tournament. They beat some NBA teams. It's just the field goal percentage was ridiculous. So I feel like there's a world that if Gonzaga comes back to earth, BYU could get them. How did you feel after that loss against Gonzaga on Thursday?
Well, I mean, I had some mixed emotions. The first half, I was right there. You know, I thought, listen, Gonzaga is just playing so good. Nobody's going to be able to hang with them. And I thought, BYU played about as well as they could and were actually within shouting distance. So, you know, I didn't – that first half I was actually – I thought it was just so fun to watch. I mean, that was high-quality, good college basketball right there. That was as good as it gets. And the second half, I felt like BYU at one point kind of threw in the towel a little bit. And it's understandable. I mean, you're playing against a good team and they're kind of running over you. But I thought defensively, I thought there was a real lack of effort. Maybe they, I think the game plan that they went in originally didn't work. And so that I think they're just trying to figure out what could work and nothing was working. And it just, I just didn't see the defensive team that I've seen all year and who was just amazing at St. Mary's. And they seem to just put up no resistance at all against Gonzaga. Now, granted, Gonzaga's awesome. We all understand that. But I don't care who you're playing. I want to see some effort. I want to see some real – I want it to hurt when you get scored on. And it was almost like a layup drill for Gonzaga for a while. With that said, offensively, I thought BYU over the course of the game performed well enough and looked pretty good. I thought Caleb Lohner really made some steps, which I think is very important for this team. I thought Alex was terrific, and Tijon was pretty good. And so, I mean, they did a lot of good things. But defensively in that second half was a disappointment for me. But sometimes that happens in those games. It gets out of hand, and you just kind of lose your focus, and it's just hard to do what you typically can do. So this will be a big game tonight, obviously, to see how they bounce back against another high-powered offensive team who's playing really good this year. So this will be another good one. But I hope to see a little bit better defensive effort from BYU tonight.
Mark, what makes Caleb Lohner so important to BYU offensively, in your opinion?
Well, I think Alex needs some help. I mean, the teams that I think are very good have two kind of really good scores that you can count on for 30, 35 points a night. Those, you just have a consistency there. You rely on that. And then the rest of the team could kind of fill in. Some guys can, you know, have a good night one night, other good. But you need some really consistent top scoring. And Tijon maybe is that guy for Alex. But I think when you have two guys that are going to perform consistently for you, that's to me the formula for having a good, consistent team. And when Caleb's not contributing offensively, obviously he does a lot of good things, and we all understand that. But we know what he can do. And when he contributes offensively, for one, he spends a lot of time on the three-point line. And if he's not knocking down that three-point shot, that allows defenders to sag off him and help on Alex Barcella makes his life miserable. And so if Caleb Lohner can at least be a threat from the three-point line, that draws the defense out, opens up the driving lanes, clears out the middle for a guy like Foose. And if Caleb Lohner can be a dynamic offensive threat, that really can help the offense run better. Also, if Caleb's hitting that three, the big man has to come out on him. He's got a really nice ball handling skills. He's got a great first step. We saw it a couple times against Gonzaga where he was on the perimeter, put it on the floor, made some nice moves, and got to the rim. So I think the type of player Caleb is, he's kind of a three-man playing, he's playing out of position at the four and the five. He likes to be in space. He likes to have his, be able to face up at the basket and do things that way rather than he's not really a back to the basket post up guy. So if he feels comfortable in space, if he can hit that jumper consistently, that will give him the opportunity then to do other things which he likes to do, like a three man, then it just makes him a better player, which then opens it up for other guys like Alex Barcella. I mean, right now, if I'm going to play against BYU, my only goal is to shut down Alex Barcella. Don't let him get hot. I'm going to commit all the resources I need to stop him. And what you need to do with teams that do that is punish them for doing it. One of the ways BYU can punish them, because they're going to likely leave off a guy like Caleb, is if Caleb can hit those shots, that punishes teams for trying to stop Alex and makes BYU a better team. So I think if Caleb can, and he doesn't have to do a lot. I mean, he just needs to be an offensive threat, maybe get 10, 12 points a game. If he can do that, that will really help BYU going forward in the conference.
That's a great point. Mark Durant's our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. I think we would all agree that Barcella is far and away the best player on this basketball team, which makes me wonder who's the second best player on the team. What would you say to that, Mark?
Second best player on this team?
Yep.
Well, I think it's Tijon. I mean, Tijon is a really steady influence out there. He's a smooth operator, and he's got the ability to hit the three and then get in the paint and be effective. He's a good assist man. I think he's a very good player, and sometimes he loses a little bit his focus, but when he's dialed in, I mean, I've seen him in games. I go back to the Missouri State game. He single-handedly won that game for BYU and was really dialed in and hit some big shots. So I think he and Alex are a great tandem, and Foose is certainly emerging as one of the best players on this team. He just gets better and better. I'm so impressed with Fusini and his ability to rebound, offensive rebound. He doesn't seem to get rattled. He plays with a lot of poise. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's playing with a lot of patience. So I think he's on the upward trend to be one of the best players on this team. But I think a guy like Tijon brings a lot to this team and settles them down and makes other guys better. So I would say Tijon, that's a pretty good backcourt the BYU has in Alex and Tijon, and they're going to need it tonight because they're going to play another really terrific backcourt with the Dons, with Shabazz and Bouye. I mean, they're really, really good. So that'll be a great matchup to see those guard lines play each other.
And with Alex Barcella, it was interesting earlier today, Mark. Jay Billis from ESPN's College Game Days called Barcella the best shooter in college basketball. Yeah. And it got Matt and I thinking, do you think Barcella is the best shooter in BYU history?
You know, it's always hard for me to say that, but, you know, you look at the numbers, and I think he is. I mean, his ability to knock down the three, I think, and I think the numbers will bear it out. I mean, when he's all done playing.
They do bear it out now, Mark. It's just, it's pretty, his three-point percentage numbers are so far and above anyone else's, it's not even funny.
What about Jimmer, though?
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmer was great.
Nate Call?
I mean,
sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Jimmer obviously is an amazing shooter, and the thing that makes it hard to compare him is Jimmer was just, I mean, he was like Showtime, exciting, you know, what's he going to do next type guy, and Alex is more get the lunch pail and go out and just do the work, you know. But as far as shooting percentages, and Jimmer was a guy that could really create his own opportunities, and Alex you know, doesn't really have that ability. I mean, he when he has an open shot, he knocks it down, but he's, you know, Jimmer could shoot anywhere over half court basically and did often. So, I mean, they're very different players. And I think Jimmer is a better player. No offense to Alex, but as far as shooting consistency, I mean, that would be fun to watch a game of horse between those two, because Alex can really shoot the rock, and to be able to shoot, you know, 90% and 50-50 from the field and the 3-point line, that's just unheard of. And it's certainly, you know, over a career, the numbers Alex has put up is remarkable. And I would say he's probably just the best shooter that I've seen at BYU.
Few more moments with Mark Durant. He'll be on the call tonight with Greg Wrubell for BYU in San Francisco. You can hear that here on KSL News Radio, tip 9 p.m., probably a little later if we're being honest. These tips always seem to get moved back as the day goes on. But
bring on Big 12 tip times, please.
That's right.
Regarding this matchup tonight, because this will end a three-game stretch for BYU Hoops, it's really difficult and probably a window into the future. But regarding this game against the Dons, what do you think is a key for BYU to get a win?
In Texas,
well, I mean, I think it's just a critical game, obviously, like you're talking about. Obviously, when you talk about Gonzaga, if you look at it realistically, they're gonna win the conference, probably not going to lose a game, and they're going to the tournament, all those things clearly and obvious, and hopefully maybe you can beat them at home. Maybe, you know, you have those hopes, but what you're really looking at, you kind of take Gonzaga out of the question. Say, okay, they're separate, and now what do we have to do? We have to beat St. Mary's. We have to beat San Francisco because they're probably the two teams that are going to be fighting with us for second place or third place, and for an NCAA tournament bid, right? And that's what your real goal is here. So you don't want to get behind against those types of teams. Because when it comes down to it, I don't think the conference is going to get four bids. I think maybe three if they're lucky. So you need to be one of the teams that gets those bids. And San Francisco's the team that wants to take that away from you. And if you could get a win on their home floor, on the road, to start this conference season, that puts you in a great position. So how do they do it? Well, you know, you're going to have to address some of the concerns you had against Gonzaga the other night, because San Francisco's a high-scoring team. They shoot the three very well. They're really fast in transition, all the things that Gonzaga's good at. So, I mean, that makes you nervous if you're BYU, seeing you're going to play a similar type of game that you just got drilled playing against Gonzaga. With that said, BYU does really well on the Hill. They have a good record here. They feel comfortable here. And they're not going to be overmatched athletically or physically like they were possibly against Gonzaga. So I think the key is take away Shabazz, particularly. He can create on his own. Really need to help with him. You need to take away the dribble penetration from Bouye. Do a solid job against the big fellow for used to play at San Diego. I'm forgetting his name right now. Masalski.
Yeah.
And I think if you do that, don't do anything special, but just shore up the defense more like what we saw against St. Mary's. Take care of the basketball so they're not getting easy transition buckets off turnovers. If you can do that, I like BYU's chances, and they really do a nice job bouncing back. Coach Pope has never lost two in a row, and this will be a real test for BYU to keep that streak alive.
Mark, you'll be on the Hilltop with Greg tonight. Has San Francisco gave any indication about maybe what the crowd will look like? Because I know with just the COVID restrictions around the West Coast, Is there expected much of a crowd? I know San Francisco doesn't get much of a crowd before COVID, but is there going to be anyone really in the gym tonight?
I think there'll be some there. I had to just sign away my youngest child to go eat lunch in San Francisco, and so five forms of ID and COVID injection things. But they're pretty strict about those kind of things here and take it pretty seriously. But I think with that said, next door that I saw a line around two blocks going to see Harry Potter. So if people want to go see it, they'll go see it. But I think it'll be probably it's not going to be a full house, but it'll be a nice little crowd. The gym is small to begin with, and so usually BYU fans as well come and show up a little bit. But I expect it'll be less than normal, and I don't think the crowd will make as big a difference. But, you know, they're with that said, San Francisco's having one of their better years ever. So we'll see if they turn out some of their faithful to come cheer on this team, because they're a good team.
Yeah, and I asked that just because I know BYU fans always show up in these West Coast Conference gyms. So we're looking forward to the call, Mark. You can follow him on Twitter, @DurantMark. He's a BYU Sports Network analyst, and you can hear his call with Greg Rebell at 9 p.m. tonight here on KSL News Radio. We always appreciate the time, as always, Mark.
You guys are the best. I'm happy to be on anytime. I appreciate all that you do, and we'll see if the Cougars can get it done tonight.
Sounds great. Have a good call, and we'll talk to you later. He is Mark Durant. We'll take the break here in Cougar Sports Saturday. More to go as we get ready for BYU in San Francisco. A sneaky, interesting game. In the early days of WCC, you'd fall asleep at this 9 p.m. tip, but this might be a game worth staying up late for. So we'll discuss that more here in hour number three, back after this.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.